Welcome back to another edition of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. I'm, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great America Media Services. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites. That's coachad.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com as well. Be sure to follow our brands on Twitter. That's coach_AD, at Train Condition, at Winning Hoops, and then myself, as always, if you like, at Wesley Sykes _. And just a quick housekeeping note before moving forward, for those interested in the sports medicine profession or working in the sports medicine profession and looking to earn CEUs, Training and Conditioning, one of our sister brands, does offer opportunities to earn those CEUs through reading our digital edition of each issue and then taking a short quiz afterwards. Simply select the continuing education tab on training-conditioning.com and follow the connecting link. Now that we have that all settled away, I'd like to welcome back to the program first-time returning guest, Rob Miller, a proactive coaching partner, of course, motivational speaker, and commissioner of the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference of the NAIA. So welcome back to the program, Rob. You must have done really well the first time. Those five questions that have nothing to do with sports, you aced it, all that good stuff.
Well, Wesley, I sure do appreciate that, but I think we got to thank the National High School Athletic Coaches Association for this, right? They're sponsoring this, and we sure appreciate them and their membership and how they want to impact the coaching profession. So I'm just glad we get the chance to do that. So thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Absolutely here. And the promotion, of course, here with the Coaching for Significance column that we've been introducing to Coach and Athletic Director. Of course, now we're about to enter our third issue, about to hit newsstands, your mailboxes at the first of the year. But right now, I think before we get into any of our work that we've done together, I think we kind of are talking at an interesting intersection right now of the high school sports season. Particularly for coaches, right? If you're a fall coach, what are some best practices that you might subscribe to for effectively closing out a season? And then maybe as a follow-up, you know, if you're a winter coach, kind of going ahead in preparation for tryouts, preseason, things of that nature.
Well, Wesley, you know, you did send me this prior, and it was kind of interesting because I read a Facebook post from a coaching friend of mine just this morning that hits right on this, I think, that really says is finishing out your season. And actually, this is the start of a basketball season. It was a college basketball coach, but I think it says it for every coach. And what he posted was this: what do you do when your team is down 24-2 after 9 minutes? A, get kicked out so you don't have to watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. B, quit coaching and watch the clock, hoping it will be running clock so the game is over as quick as possible. C, let your team continue to play the same way and lose by 60. D, make halftime adjustments, push your kids to play harder, tougher, and execute better by making good decisions. Halftime score, 52-25. Final score, 81-67. We will always choose D. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it right. Coach till the last second. I don't care what your season is. Your kids deserve your coaching effort to the last play, the last second, the last contest. Add on to that, one of my favorite quotes from our founder, Bruce Brown at Proactive, is this: don't wait for the banquet to tell your kids how much you care for them.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. As you got them in these last few weeks, make sure you remind them of all the good things they brought to the team. And that would add into the third thing, which I think is this: make sure you start prepping them for next year for those kids that are returning. You know, here's some things you could do. Here's some things we want to be. And I think if you do those three things, you've closed out the season exceptionally well. On the other end of it, what do you do before they come in? And I thought about that. That's a great question. And I think there's a couple things. One, make sure your kids understand expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold the expectation. No, before they ever walk into a tryout, give them those expectation lists. But then the second one that hit me that I really thought about a lot was make sure you've done a good job of uncovering anybody that might be interested. Because you might have that shy kid that's never come out. Have we had a chance to reach out to that kid? Oh, you know your kids that have always been there. But is there one kid that frankly might need the team more than you need him or him mm-hmm. or her. But on the other hand, there might be that young athlete, okay, that's out there that they can make a difference, but they've just been too tentative to come forward. Let's make sure we've undercovered every kid that could be coming out for our program.
And how would you go about that? Is that you know, obviously a case by case situation, I would imagine, but is that something on a individual basis that you might do with a coach or maybe, you know, a teacher that is an assistant as well, or a captain kind of making that approach?
Well, yeah, I think you approach kids and find out, you know, who's out there that's been talking about this that may be off our radar. The kids mm-hmm. probably know more than any adult knows, right, as you come in there. Second is, if you're not, maybe you're not a physical education teacher, but I'd be talking to the physical education teachers. Mm-hmm. Who shows interest in class? Who's kind of engaged but kind of sits out there a little bit but loves what you do? Kind of talk to those people that are in the trenches and find out, maybe talk to your principals and your vice principals, who needs us, mm-hmm. who's struggling right now, your counselors, who maybe could need us. Just send out a message who might be there.
Well, you know, and I think the last time we spoke, we briefly kind of discussed, I think we previewed the first five qualities of a successful athletic program, of course, which appeared in our November-December issue of Coach and Athletic Director. And of course, the follow-up of that issue will be getting set to appear in that January 2022 issue, the first of the year. But what are some of those first five qualities that you've noticed from successful programs? And I would imagine kind of identifying all of the interested parties might be part of that.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And that first part we kind of already talked about is too, as you're prepping, and that is to have clear, consistent standards. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this last time, but you know, one thing we've done in athletics is we've been great at t-shirt slogans and really bad at action statements. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure we know what our slogans look like in practice, in the classroom, et cetera. Make your standards clear. Second is we want the athletes to take kind of responsibility for it, which means this, they need to own it. Mm-hmm. It can't be us dictating to them. It has to be us engaging our athletes so they take ownership in the process. And once they take ownership, your ceiling rises so much higher. When it's their team, not our team, the ceiling for that team just rises. Mm-hmm. Be prepared. Be a master teacher. What's that mean? Be good at coaching in the X and O's and also be good at coaching kids and culture and character. It takes both. You know, if you're all about performance and not about culture, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. If you're all about culture without performance, you're in trouble. You have to mix those two and be a master teacher at teaching both of those. I also believe we got to make sure our positive role models and leadership. You know, you're going to have leaders. Not all leaders are good. We got leaders out there that necessarily aren't great positive role models, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we got to put leaders in place, including ourselves, that are the best representatives of what we want our team to stand for. You know, if you want hard work as some of your standard, our leaders better be the hardest workers there are, including us. And then the last one I'd put in there is this, make sure everybody feels valued. Different roles equal value. And we have to make sure everybody feels valued as part of this team.
I love that. And that was my big takeaway when reading over that article that you submitted. And that was my first real takeaway, was kind of valuing that notion of all the roles on the team, whether it be, again, from a team manager, assistant coach, last player on the bench, star player, whoever it may be, right? But how do you go about kind of putting that idea into practice throughout the course of the season? Let's kind of use your own words here, to not wait until the banquet to acknowledge everybody.
Yeah. When somebody does something great, make sure we recognize that. No, you don't have to create this unbelievable celebration, but we have to, you know, even simple stuff. We just ran a drill, and we ran that drill, you know, why our team manager had everything set to perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take much to turn around and look at that team manager and say, well done, in front of the team, you allowed us to perform there. Simple words go so far with that. I also think establishing, you know, I've always put it this way. I just said this, all roles are not equal.
Right.
You're going to have that one wrestler. You're going to have that one indoor track performer. You're going to have that one basketball player. You're going to have that one athlete that stands out because they just perform at a high level, right? I mean, you know, basketball, my sport. The kid averages 25 points a game. They're going to stand out. That mm-hmm. doesn't make him any more important than the kid who set the pick, who made the pass, who worked hard in practice. It all allowed us to be successful. So one thing we remind those people that get the attention, phrase we use in proactive is this: when glory comes your way, give it away.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody walks up to you or you're getting interviewed on social media or, you know, the newspaper's talking to you, find a way in those first few minutes to say, I succeeded because such and such set me up for that. What a gift you give to your teammates at that point. That makes them feel valued.
Yeah, and it's amazing too, from being on the other end as a reporter, when you kind of toss up those opportunities. Hey, you had 3 touchdowns in a game, you know, you had 36 points, you know, what was the secret? What was kind of behind your success today? And again, it's the first one. Well, I had a great work behind my offensive line. You know, our team really implemented our game plan. And some of those cliched sports answers that if I was at a higher ranking level, maybe at the professional level, I might kind of roll my eyes a little bit more. But when you're at that high school level, I appreciate that line of thinking and that line of thought there, because it is a humility aspect to it.
You know, the best one I ever saw was, it was an outside hitter on a volleyball team, mm-hmm. and she dominated. And she got asked, why did you dominate today's game? And her response was, did you see every set was perfect?
Right.
How good is that? Mm-hmm. But even like in an individual sport, take a wrestler. You know, you get those wrestlers out there and their individual sport killing it. Well, guess what? Somebody's had to pair up with them every right. single day in practice to let them work on that. I don't know who that person was, but holy smokes, let's reward that person as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes even as far as like the scout team, right? That person from football, whatever, you know, that the practice squad team that's emulating the opponent that you're playing that week, right? That's a great week of practice. That's probably due to your sub varsity or backup players kind of assuming their roles.
You know, it's kind of going a little different direction off that, assuming your role. Mm-hmm. One of the best stories I ever heard is a couple years ago. It was a high school coach called me. We'd been working with their program, and she said, we're going to be great. And I said, how do you know? It was late in the season. She goes, my seniors who were the backups looked at the upper underclassmen who are our starters and said, we know our roles and it's to make you better. When mm-hmm. you accept your role to go out and perform in the cup, we're going to be good. Once you get that, they understand their value and they understand their role. They understand mm-hmm. the value. Teams soar.
And that's leadership, right? That's not necessarily being like, I'm the senior veteran on here. That's my time to shine. I've waited, right? But it's right. understanding, right? Yeah, that's great. I think kind of spitballing off of that notion here, we talk about being a positive role model, right? And this feels like somewhat of an obvious trait of a successful program, something that you might expect. But I also don't think it could be overstated either. You know, something that you can't really hammer home. But it also, to your point earlier, it kind of coincides with being a master teacher, which was quality number 3, as well as the second quality there, which I'm blanking on at the moment. I think I have this pulled up.
Ownership.
I'm sorry?
The team takes responsibility, has some ownership.
Right, exactly. So as a long-winded way of saying this, you know, we just did our coach and athletic director AD survey for the new year. And one of their biggest issues entering the year is always hiring quality coaches. So how can you identify positive role models, qualities in a coaching candidate during interview process? Or maybe to kind of switch that around, how can you convey those qualities if you're a coach, you know, during an interview with an AD in maybe a short period of time?
That's really good. I mean, I really like that because it goes both ways, right? I mean, mm-hmm. how do I present myself, but how do I make sure I understand who this person is and they're just better than a good interviewer? I'd say on the front end, if I'm that athletic administrator hiring somebody, mm-hmm. there's a couple things. One is my questions may not be so much about how do you run your offense or defense? What's your conditioning scheme? I probably ask that, but I'm more important. How do you develop an athlete and a student to be a better player and a better person with their time with you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get specific. How do you do that? That you're going to see there's, you know, if they don't have an answer coming forward, you know, we follow this model to create them. We teach a skill this way. Then, you know, it's kind of superficial versus deep as you mm-hmm. walk in there. I would say the second thing I'd always do as an administrator, and I do this when I'm hiring people, is I don't just ask for references off their reference list.
Okay, so you do a little bit more investigative work on your
own? I'm going to try to find out from people that played for that coach, that worked with that coach, that aren't on their reference list, okay?
Right.
And I'm going to say, what's your experience? And I'm not going to take one because I think all of us as coaches and athletic administrators understand you're not going to please everybody. You know, and if you only take the what you call one person, they say, oh, I didn't like Coach Miller. Well, that could happen with any one of us on this call. Guess what? You're going to find a kid that says, I don't think Coach Krzyzewski's a good coach.
Okay? Right.
I mean, you're going to find that somewhere along the line. Right,
exactly.
So you can't just take first, but you're looking for trends. You're looking for trends. But I certainly want to ask them, how are you going to integrate? But then the third thing I think is this, as an athletic administrator, you have to outline before they get to the interview, this is what we stand for as an athletic program. How will you implement that in your program?
And that kind of goes back to that quality number one, right? Kind of having a clear and concise message from the top down, right?
That's right. That's right. I think on the other hand, if I'm coming in, I want to present myself, first of all, is this, and I'm shocked how many times this happens. Okay, I want to make sure the references that I did list are going to be references that support me. Because I got a call not long ago. I didn't know that I was on a kid's reference list, and I didn't, I probably shouldn't have been on the person's reference list. Right. And no one called me about being on the reference list. Okay, make sure you talk to them, and then also let them know, you know, you might get a phone call here. Prep your references there. Second thing is, you be ready. When you go in for that interview, yeah, you have your X and O's down, your strategy down, but you also have down your program. Here's my vision. Here's my short-term vision for the program. Here's my long-term vision for the program. Here's how I want to establish, let's go back to what I said before. Here's how I want to establish performance on my program. Here's what how I want to establish culture in my program. Show them that vision.
And it's really interesting. There's a team that I used to cover in my hometown, you know, kind of backyard area, that I was there when they just hired a new football coach, and he had played D3. He was a local, you know, local standout at the high school level, and come back and started, and he was taking over the physical education program. And I'd asked him, what was your first kind of, how do you kind of make your mark? What's your kind of your vision of this program? And his first one was implementing the strength and conditioning program. Where he had come from, that's what they did as a small school, and was able to kind of build up small school prominence. As coming to another small school, that was what he really wanted to do, using that success that he learned from his high school playing days. So that they, you know, kind of went 2-5, you know, missed the playoffs, under 500, took their lumps. The program, from a strength and conditioning aspect, didn't really take off. It took a couple years for commitment. And now I want to say he's in his fourth or fifth year with the program. They're playing in the, you know, round of 16 of the state tournament against his former team that taught him all the, you know, strength and conditioning principles, his old alma mater. And it's really just an amazing story, but it's nice to see that growth over that time, I think, and be able to, again, stick to your plan, have that short-term vision, and kind of see that come to fruition.
And you know what you just said there, Wesley, I think it's important. It doesn't come always overnight. It takes a process and a program. And I think as an athletic director, you want to really impress a candidate that you're recruiting, that you're trying to get and you're trying to hire. Let them know, we're going to mentor you and stay with you, especially young coach. Because, you know, young coaches are going to come in and probably they're either going to coach exactly like the way they were coached, or they're going to coach 180 degrees different.
Right.
But then over time, they develop their own little way, right? They kind of develop what their style is. And sometimes that's not going to come in year one. They're going to say, ooh, that didn't work. I'm going to have to do this. And if we're not there to support them as administrators and mentor them and just get rid of them because of a bad one or first 2 years, we're going to be in that cycle for the rest of our lives. Just keep hiring people. We have to make sure we hire good people, mentor good people, and let those people succeed.
God, you have to talk to the New York Jets and Woody Johnson or something, right? Because I feel like you just explained what was going on with that organization for years. Yeah. but we touched on the first quality here a little bit. And again, that's a clear and consistent presentation of standards and values. And again, that kind of starting from the top down, whether you're a head coach or an administrator, right, of a whole department there. But it seems like boiled down, that's just effective communication when you kind of strip it down, right? So I think maybe not only with your team, but also with your coaching staff. So I think maybe in terms of that coaching staff there, what are some ways to ensure better communication between your coaching staff and maybe presenting that strong singular message, making sure everyone's kind of on the same ship?
I think that's an issue right there. I mean, in some places. And I think we have to get into our coaching staff and figure out what are our for sures and what can we all live with, right? I mean, what are those things that all of us will call on the table? We're going to have different styles. That I don't want to hire mimics of me as a coach. You know, I don't want yes people, but I want people that we're on the same page when it comes to what we're coaching. And so an example is if I'm all about hard work, 100% of the time, and the moment I'm not at a practice or they're over on the other side of the court, the gym, the field with another coach, and that coach is allowing them to go 80%, we got a problem. You know, what are the three or four or five things that are our for sures that we're all going to address and make sure that's there? Part of that, too, is I'm going to come back and go a little bit off coaching here and saying this. Allow your athletes to have some say in those standards, because otherwise it's here's who you have to be instead of here's who we want to be. Let you have your base, but then let them have some input in that base. But then, yes, as a coaching staff, we have to meet, make sure we know our for sures. And then second is let's talk about these and make sure we review all situations and get into a position that we're not caught in a position where, well, coach said that versus coach said this. Now, take a look at what happens right now in our schools in the same sport, but you're talking two different teams. How many times has a coach heard this? High school coach hears, well, my club coach said this. Or the club coach says, well, the high school coach or the club coach hears, my high school coach said this. And it gets pitted against each other. See, we can't have those different things when we're on our own staff. Okay. Well, Coach Miller said, do it this way. Coach Smith said, do it this way. No, we got to have it down in the same way. So we got to review that at all times and be on the same page.
And how about even from an aspect of maybe like a good cop, bad cop sort of thing, where maybe one coach might be stern and the other one kind of comes in and says, hey, and kind of maybe cleans things up a little bit. And can that be a conflict of interest? I'm sure that's, again, another case by case kind of personality.
Well, I don't think there's a conflict of interest if you have the same standard. Okay. I might address you're not giving 100% different how the other coach is addressing how you don't give 100%. One could come at it with a lot of urgency and angst. One could come at it a lot kinder and a lot more gentle. Okay. You never demean a kid no matter what. But when you're coming at that point, you're still coming at it from the same angle. Our styles are different. And I do believe this. I believe no matter who you are as a coach, you got to be genuine in who you are, right? Kids can read through that fakeness. Again, if you're somebody that has a lot of energy, angst, and gets after it, that's okay. Again, never demean a kid. Demand, but don't demean. But if that's who you are, be who you are. And this other person can be really quiet, really mild. That's who you are. Just never demean them and make sure you hold them to the same standard.
All right. I love it here. Now, of course, those were a few of the first five traits of a successful athletic program. Of course, there's 10 in total. What can some viewers and fans expect to read in the January 2022 issue for part two of the 10 traits that make up a successful athletic program?
Well, you know, first of all, before I even go there, okay, let's just remember this. Successful programs as a coach, make sure you're doing your best to look at other programs within your school that are successful. And what do I mean by that? You know, sometimes we think because I'm this sport, I have to just look at this sport. No, you don't. No, you don't. Look at other programs, other sports. In fact, sometimes look outside of sports. What's developing a great marching band at your school? What's developing a great choir? What's developing a great FFA program? Let's make sure we're looking at all of that. What we also then go back for is the rest of this, you're going to look at trust. You know, trust makes or breaks teams, makes or breaks families. How do we makes or breaks nations, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, right now. Sure. How do we make sure we're building trust within our program? Second, great teams have a great way of making sure performance feedback is provided consistently. You know, not just hearing when you played bad, not just hearing every time something goes wrong, you know, something goes right or something goes wrong. Okay. That we really provide that feedback in a consistent way. Mm-hmm. We also have a tradition, you know, rites of passage. We make sure that the program is bigger than each individual, and it kind of comes through that players, once they leave your program, they don't play anymore, but they never leave your program. They stay involved in it. We also believe this: great programs, you as a coach and a leader have a sense of urgency about you. There's always that little sense. In fact, I was watching one of my favorite coaches, a guy by the name of Steve Ritter, basketball coach at Embry-Riddle University out of Florida this week. And I hadn't seen him coach in about 3 years. And I watched him this week. And his urgency is the same now that it's been since I started watching him coach 18 years ago. There's just this positive urgency that people know we're now engaged. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
The last one that I think you'll hear from and that Bruce will write about is the long-term impact that we as coaches and administrators have on our kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just when they're with us. It's forever.
Absolutely. I love that. And I believe you, as a few application ideas in your articles, you have a few book options available as well. We're right around the holiday season. So I think before we let you go, you know, what are some quality book recommendations for the coaches and administrators in your family?
Well, first of all, I'll promote Bruce, my partner. You know, Bruce has a ton of great booklets that he has on proactivecoaching.info. I think he's the best writer in the country. But some other books that I highly suggest as you read through them is Practice Perfect, okay, is a great book. Thank You, Coach by Angus Reid. He played the Canadian Football League. Fantastic book as you go through it. I love anything by Dungy. Mm-hmm. Anything by Coach Wooden. Of course, you know, realize there's a lot of players and a lot of coaches today who don't know who John Wooden is. It scares you to death, but it's true. Okay. And then I'm actually reading one right now called Let Them Lead. And it's a great story written by John Bacon. He took over, he calls it Lessons Learned from the Worst High School Hockey Team in the Country. And he coached them up. Okay. I mean, he got them, he let them lead, and they went from being at the bottom to being at the top. And it's all about that process, allowing that to happen. Let them lead. You know, I think like most coaches, you just want to just take in other people's information and how does that impact you? And whether it be from Bruce or whether it be from Let Them Lead or Angus, there's some great information out there.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. And once again, where can the people get in touch with you on social media or just get in touch with you via email, whatever your best source of contact is?
You bet. Just a couple things. One is our website is proactivecoaching.info. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Proactive Coach on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Proactive Coaching LLC. So you can find us all on social media. We also just started on LinkedIn and Instagram, though I'm not the social media expert. So you just got to search for us when you come there. Okay.
Sure.
Just come through. I would love to hear from you, Rob at proactivecoaching.info. And we just love to hear from people. I've had the chance this week to be at about 3 high schools this week and work with teams. And it's always great because you're at that end of the year where people are either celebrating what they've done or already looking forward to how to get better. And like you said, they're transitioning into, hey, everybody has excitement now for the winter. That's a great thing. How can we build on that excitement? So
exactly.
I just want to thank you for having me. And I will shout out one more time to the National High School Athletic Coaches Association for allowing us to do this, because it's a privilege and an honor to be part of that group and be presenting for them to you guys.
Awesome. Yes, we're at a great crossroads in the season right now. So, Rob, thank you once again. You can follow all of our brands on Twitter. That's Coach_AD. That's Train Condition, Winning Hoops, and then myself, as always, if you like, Wesley_Sykes. And you want to be following those accounts to get a first look at who our next guest will be. But until then, sports fans, my name is Wesley Sykes, and thank you for listening to another edition of Sideline Sessions. And thank you, Rob.
Thank you for having me. Always enjoy it.